Loving Sai Ram from Prashant Nilayam to each one of you, dear brothers and sisters, and welcome to this special satsang from the studios of Sri Satya Sai Media Center in this joyous month of November. And like the previous sessions, joining me by Bhagwan's grace is Brother Amey Deshpande from the Sri Satya Sai Center for Human Values. Even before the month of November begins, the excitement, the enthusiasm, the zeal that each one of us have in our hearts to make this occasion special is something that everyone knows in their inner core, isn't it? Because I know of people, 95th year of Swami's birthday, you know, there are people who say, for 95 days, I will get up early in the morning and do this sadhana. I will do this japa, I will do this dhyana. There is someone else who says, for 95 continuous days, I will jog every morning, and as I'm jogging, I will think of only Swami and nothing else. 95 days, I will redo my altar and start a seva which will continuously go on for, you know, 95 days. I think every person thinks about how I can make this birthday special. It should be a silent, solid offering from me to Swami. And even as that is happening at the personal level, the biggest event of the Samiti, the Sai Center, happens on the birthday. I think for every Sai Center, this is the biggest occasion. And if you are part of it in some way, if you are involved in the birthday celebration, even if you witness it, you feel so grateful, so gracious, so gratified that you are part of the birthday celebration. And if you look at Prashant Nilayam, but for the current change circumstances, it would have been a cascade of programs right from January, isn't it? Every weekend would have been filled with people. Prashanti would have been brimming with people, performances and pure joy of knowing him, of celebrating him, of just dancing and singing for him. It is his glorious 95th birthday, isn't it?
Absolutely. And of course, and in spite of all of that, this year, he chose it to be very different from the other years.
Yeah.
There was such anticipation and enthusiasm in the hearts and the minds of a lot of devotees. In fact, around the world, people were going to come and they had prepared for almost six,
yes,
8 months.
Absolutely.
For their cultural programs.
Mm.
And yet Swami chose to shift the entire thing in a different,
yes,
way.
Absolutely.
So while all of the enthusiasm and all of that fervor is there.
There, yeah.
It is going to be in a slightly different way.
Yes.
And I think what Swami is challenging us to do is to make it more innovative this year.
Absolutely.
And I think this year's birthday celebrations is very, very innovative, including this satsang that we are doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think everything that happens in the divine master plan of Bhagwan, it has meanings in multiple dimensions. And if Bhagwan wants the 95th birthday differently this year, I think it has so much of meaning. I feel Swami is telling that for this birthday, don't run around, don't step out and run around and make all these elaborate arrangements. What I want you to do is calm down. You step in and go inwards. Make that shift in your life which you have been wanting to do for so many years. Bring that sea change in your life which will embolden you, which will make you a different person, which will give you that power to be a new person by the time the 96th birthday arrives. I think Swami is completely shifting the focus. You have lot of time. You have so much of plenty of space, mind space available to do that internal journey. I think Swami is telling the best way to do the birthday celebrations this year is, as you said, be innovative in, go,
yes,
in. And I think that is what, to me, that's what appears, that Bhagwan is completely changing the way we had looked how we should celebrate birthday, isn't it?
Nevertheless, having said all of this, it is still going to be extremely memorable.
Yes.
Maybe memorable for the fact that there were no those kind of grandiose celebrations.
Yes.
But it was a quiet time,
yes,
where we contemplated on the 23rd of November,
yes,
when we lit a lamp or a candle in our house and we,
yes,
cut a small cake for Swami,
yes,
just Swami and my family,
yes,
just, you know, it's going to be,
yes,
a very, very personal and private affair,
yes,
this,
yes,
year.
And I think the way it is going and the way we are trying to internalize the celebration of the birthday. I think by the time 96th birthday comes, we will be able to celebrate the birthday gloriously internally as well as gloriously externally. And, you know, both of us, we have been thinking about how we should do this journey, how we should embark on this beautiful adventure. And we thought the best thing to do would be to just read through several Swami's discourses. And that's what we've been doing the last few days, thanks to Bhagavan's grace and the opportunity. And it has really been such a thrilling experience, isn't it, Amit?
Absolutely. In fact, what we did was we took a deep dive into all of the birthday messages.
Yes.
Right? So we from 1960 is the first birthday message that is available to us in Sathya Sai Speaks. Yes. Right up to 2010. So that's 40 birthday discourses is what we went into. We took a deep dive. We read all of them. And we wanted to see what is it that Swami wanted to say on his birthday. Right? All of us, we want to know what is the birthday message. It is probably the most important Sai discourse, if we can call it that way. Of course, there is the Shivratri discourse and yes. there is the Dasara discourses and there are yes. plenty and numerous discourses. But on his most important day, which also happens to be our most important day, yes. what is the message that he wanted to give? Yes. And it was an absolutely exhilarating experience to just go through all of the birthday messages.
Yes.
You know, one common thing that I noticed in all of the birthday messages is he never spoke about his childhood.
Mm.
Right? Yes. Isn't birthday supposed to be a day when you actually reminisce, you know, all the things that happened? And Swami would do that on every other day, probably yes. more so on a declaration yes. day. On 20th October, day. He would actually talk about what happened in Kamalapuram, yes. what yes. happened in Bukkapatnam, what happened in Puttaparthi. But somehow, on his own birthday,
yes.
he never spoke about his childhood.
And what he spoke
about is what we are going to discuss today. So,
yeah. And I think one thing that you mentioned, for everyone, this is perhaps the most important day. I remember so many people, you know, you ask them, what is their birthday? You know, they want to give November 23rd as their birthday, because I feel that is the day, you know, they feel that they are born. They feel that the day Swami entered my life, you know, that is the most important day.
True.
And that is how people look at this whole event. And as you are saying, you know, when you look at through all these birthday discourses, in 1974 birthday discourse, Bhagwan is clearly telling, do you know when you can celebrate my birthday? Do you know when are you really ready to observe this important day? And Swami gives the answer also. We will not give the answer right now, but that will be the journey. Today, as we go through all these birthday discourses, we will reveal the answer. It will come out naturally through this discussion, what Bhagwan himself has narrated. But to begin the journey, let me take you back 70 years to 1950. The one mega event that happened in the Sathya Sai Saga, one of the most landmark birthdays, so Bhagwan's 25th birthday. And that is the year when Bhagwan gifted this heaven of peace, Prashanti Nilayam, to the whole world. And on that day, there was this procession from the Patha Mandir, the old Mandir, to the Prashanti Nilayam Mandir. And during the procession, when Bhagwan was on the palanquin, one very beautiful thing that happened was Swami would take these petals of flowers and he would just shower on the devotees. And mid-air, these petals would transform into coins, into pendants, into raisins, into nuts, into chains, you know. Everyone got something very special. And as the procession ended, Swami asked all the people who were carrying the palanquin to wait. And Swami took a profuse heap of flowers. And when he threw these, now when it fell on the palms of the devotees, there was a silver coin, and in it was Bhagwan's image and the powerful message, why fear when I am here, in several Indian languages.
Wow.
And to me, it feels like this is the first message that Swami is giving when he is gifting Prashanti Nilayam to the whole world. This is the first message. I have come, why fear? There is nothing for you to fear from now on. And of course, when Bhagwan gets down the palanquin and puts his right foot into the new mandir, there is Jai Jai Kar, Bolo Bhagwan ki Sathya Sai Baba ki Jai. And that moment Swami takes and Swami says, this Prashanti Nilayam, I have called it Prashanti Nilayam. Prashanti means supreme peace. This is the abode of supreme peace. And Swami says that this place will grant you the mind of a newborn. Without any bad thoughts, this place will grant you that purity of an infant. And then Swami says that putta parti, putta means birth, parti means no. Swami says, whoever stays in this place and undertakes any sadhana, be it japa, dhyana, meditation, anything, if you do it sincerely, this place will take you out of the cycle of birth and death. And a few months before this, before the inauguration, one day when Bhagwan was on the hillocks of Prashanti Nilayam, Bhagwan was with a devotee and people are very skeptical of this new mandir coming up. And Swami looked at the construction going on and Swami told this old devotee, the Sai Pravesh will convert this place into Prashanti Pradesh. The advent of Sai will convert this place into the abode of peace. And then Swami says that, I know you have doubts because that person had a lot of questions. Swami said, you will believe it when you have to stand where you are standing right now just to get a glimpse of me when I would be in that abode. So this is that beautiful birthday, the first landmark birthday. And one very interesting thing that happened during the birthday celebration, so it was a 10-day celebration, every day there were cultural programs. And so one day there was this singer, Saraswati Bai, who had come for Bhagwan's darshan. But she was a singer and Swami asked her to go to the stage. And she said, Swami, I have not come with my accompanying artists, I cannot perform. Swami said, you go to the stage. And then Swami got up and Swami went into the crowd. Swami picked up a 25-year-old boy. And Swami told, you go to the stage. So that boy took namaskar and he went to the stage. Swami went further, picked up a 45-year-old man. Swami told, you go to the stage. Swami went further. Swami picked up a 25-year-old girl. Swami told, you go to the stage. And then Bhagwan went to the stage. And Swami asked the volunteers to get a violin and a mridangam. So Swami told, give the violin to that boy, give the mridangam to that man. And Swami told this girl, you sit next to Saraswati Bai. This girl happened to be a playback singer, that boy happened to be a violinist, and the man happened to be a mridangam, so it will start the concert. I mean, that is how Prashanti Nilayam, you know, made its start. Swami is telling you, you have come to Prashanti Nilayam, you are full. You don't have to worry, you are with God now, there is nothing impossible. If He tells you to do something, He is there backing you completely. There is nothing impossible. It is only Him possible. And that is what is Prashanti Nilayam, isn't it?
So let's go on to this beautiful Padyam. Talking about Prashanti Nilayam and His glory, let's hear Swami Himself tell this beautiful Padyam from the 1989 birthday discourse.
Thank you.
What a beautiful words, a padyam to hear from his own mouth.
Yes.
To speak about the glory of Prashanti.
Yes.
And he goes on to say, in the 1982 birthday, he says, embodiments of divine Atma, you may not be able to see it, but it is very clear before my eyes. As days pass, even those who are now able to recognize, the truth of Swami will have to approach with tears of repentance and experience me. Very soon, this will be worldwide. Swami is now restraining this development. Once it is allowed to manifest, the whole world will be transformed into Prashanti Nilayam. What a assurance.
Yes. So I'm saying, I am containing it.
Yes. And what an assurance
don't
that
know what will happen.
The entire world will be Prashanti Nilayam. Because I think when the Lord incarnates in flesh and blood, it is not just about, yes, no doubt that particular place becomes sacrosanct.
Yes.
But I think the purpose of an avatar is to transform the entire world into Ayodhya or a Dwaraka or a Jerusalem or a Prashanti Nilayam.
Absolutely.
In fact, in the 1960 discourse, he says, this is just imagine when Swami was just 35 years old. Just imagine what Puttaparthi was described by one of the gentlemen who came, Mr. Arnold Shulman.
Yes.
He says Puttaparthi was a stone's throw from Stone Age. We have heard that.
Yes.
Sometime around that time, just imagine 1960, Swami is selling, believe in me, this Puttaparthi is soon going to become Tirupati, where thousands of yogis, sadhus and aspirants will be coming here in future years, deriving solace and salvation. The re-establishment of Sanatana Dharma will emanate from here.
Wow.
What a clarion declaration by Swami. And all of these are from his birthday discourses.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, these are those birthday gifts that Bhagavan gave us. And when you look at any birthday celebration, you know, one image that comes very vividly whenever you talk about birthdays, you know, all through the student years, whenever you have been with Bhagwan, one thing that you saw Swami doing ceaselessly during the birthday season is giving to the staff, giving to the workers, giving to the employees, giving to the guests, giving to the sevadals. And I think this would just go on and on and on. I think we have seen that any number of times in all these years, and it was happening even when Bhagwan physically was 75, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, we have seen Swami for hours. There are occasions when people who were doing Padseva to Bhagwan, they noticed that there was a boil on Bhagwan's foot actually. Because in those days, the surface in the mandir was very rough.
It was concrete.
It was. And when they were, you know, cutting these dhotis and making these things ready for distribution, and they had the chance to do Padseva, and somebody noticed this boil on Swami's feet and said, Swami, you cannot go out and give Padnamaskaram because people are constantly touching, you know. Your feet will get damp. Swami said, shut up. You cannot say anything like this. People have come from so far. I have to go and give. Swami actually took a nail cutter. He just chopped off that skin. He didn't want even anyone to see that he has that wound. And Swami, of course, said, if you want it to be healed, you pray.
In fact, there are so many cases where Swami used to run temperatures just before the birthday, because it's just the sheer effort of just being there. And you know, thousands and thousands of people would be coming.
Yeah.
I typically remember it would start around Akhanda Bhajan Day.
Yeah.
Okay. the entire that gusto.
Yes.
And it would end almost a week after birthday.
Yeah.
Right, where especially on the big birthdays, like the 95th birthday, during the 70th birthday, the 75th birthday, the 65th birthday, just giving Padnamaskar to the thousands of sevadals who had worked during the birthday season, it would take Swami something like an hour and a half.
And it's not just give them walking. Lesson. People are constantly touching your feet.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, but that is what is Swami, and that is what we have seen year after year. You know, very beautifully in the 1974 birthday discourse, Swami is saying, I need nothing, however big or small in this universe. I need nothing. He says, at no moment has desire affected me for anything or any activity. Desire has never affected me. Swami is saying,
So similar to the, you know, to the words of Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita.
Absolutely.
That in these three words, there is nothing that I desire.
I desire. Absolutely. And then Bhagavan says, I am the person come to give, not to receive. And I think in every birthday, we saw this in action. I mean, it was there all the time, but in birthdays, it was more obvious.
Obvious.
That's all. And even if you look at all the birthdays, you know, take the series of birthday celebrations. As I mentioned, 1950, Bhagavan gifted to humanity the Prashanthi Nilayam Mandir. 1961, Swami gave Satyam Shivam Sundaram, his life story. 1962, Swami opened the Veda Pathshala. As you are telling, the Sanatana Dharma re-establishment started with Swami inducting boys to learn Vedam. 1975, the Stupa inauguration happened. The 1975 Gokulam inauguration happened.
The Gopuram was also
Gopuram, yes. The Gopuram. So every birthday Swami was constantly.
In 1990 yes. was the great the declaration of the super speciality hospital. 91 yes. was the inauguration of the hospital. 1990 was also the Hanuman statue.
Yes.
65 foot.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. And if you look at 1985, Swami gifted the Hillview Stadium. Swami gifted the Space Theatre, the Planetarium.
Yes.
And after the hospital, it came the water projects. 1995,
Five.
The water projects. In 2000, Swami gave Chaitanya Jyoti, the music college. 2001, Swami gifted us Radio Sai, which is now Media Center. I mean, every birthday, it was just giving, giving, giving. And just giving us more and more things to make our lives happier, to reduce our suffering. If you see all these mega institutions, it created a new dimension in those disciplines of service, be it social care, Medicare, and Swami is giving us those models how to reduce suffering of humanity on a large scale. But at the same time, I feel the most precious gifts on birthdays, the secrets, the revelations, the instructions, the directions that Swami gave to turn around our lives for our inner re-engineering, that happened on every birthday discourse.
Yes. In fact, that is the greatest miracle.
Yes.
In fact, each of these institutions on their own are, you know, they have become books, they have become documentaries, whether it is a water project, yes. whether it is a super hospital, yes. they are some of the most iconic, offerings that anybody can give to the world.
Yes.
Right? A super speciality hospital, yes. whether it was general hospital,
yes.
right? All of these are absolutely superhuman efforts.
Yes.
In the time that it has been achieved,
yes.
right? Just the size of it. And while all of this, you know, notwithstanding all of this that we have spoken, the greatest miracle
yes.
was all of his discourses. And, you know, we all have heard about this beautiful, you know, the four cars that Swami talks about,
yes.
which is a Chamatkar, Samskar, Paropakar and Sakshatkar.
Yes.
This concept was also given in one of the birthday discourses.
Yes.
Okay, and there's a very, you know, beautiful, I'll read out this passage where Swami talks about these miracles and about the significance of these miracles. Swami, in the 1961 discourse, Swami says, incarnation is for the sake of righteousness, for demarcating and directing it, and to show mankind the true path of desireless activity. That is the one task that I am engaged in. Through various channels, instead of reforming you without your knowledge,
mm-hmm.
it is better to reform you with your own cooperation and knowledge.
Yes.
And so for that, I reveal to you my glory.
Yes.
Right, so all of these chamatkar
yes.
is only to reveal himself's glory.
Yes.
And then in the 1976 discourse, he says, the reason why I give all of these, I show you all of these glories, the signs and wonders that I manifest are given names that do not connote the purpose or effect. Then you can call them chamatkar, he says.
Mm.
But that chamatkar leads on to samskar, because the purpose for which I am doing this is to sow in you those virtuous deeds, all of these virtues, and that is the process of samskar or refinement, purificating acts, which urges one towards paropakar, So only purpose why all of these purificating acts are embedded in you is so that you become beneficial to society. Mm. And when you do that, that results in Sakshatkar, which is to know the purpose for which you have come.
Absolutely.
How beautifully he explains why all of these miracles that we just told you, why does he do that? Mm. So that it leads to samskar, followed by paropkar, and then ultimately leads on to Sakshatkar.
And in fact, Swami, in that discourse, Swami mentions miracles is my very nature.
Yes.
Isn't it? Swami says, I am miraculous by my very nature.
In fact, he says, every moment is a miracle.
A miracle.
Every moment of mine is a miracle.
Miracle. Yes. And Swami says, whoever it is, even if you have strayed away, I will bring you back. I will bring you back and I will fill you with ananda, because that is what I am. That is the miracle of Bhagwan, and that is what Bhagwan continues to do. And all these institutions that we talked about, all these miracles of love, Swami says, you also can do, provided you go through this process.
In fact, if you look at all of these institutions, they were means of bringing people close to him, whether it's doctors, whether it is scientists, whether they were teachers, whether they were students.
For this process to start.
For this process to start.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
So while he gave us magnificent buildings, whether it was doctors or patients, it could be paramedic, it could be scientists. Yes. Right? Today we have the advanced research center. We have a media, which means if you are involved in anything, you come here and start the process of samskara, which is what? Which is to become beneficial to the society. And eventually the Sakshatkara will be given to you.
Absolutely. So in samskar, that was that beautiful birthday gift. You know, if you look at the birthday gifts, so this was the birthday gift that Swami gave us. This whole journey of chamatkar, you getting attracted to him, leading to samskar. So Swami says, why does the divine attract? The divine attracts only to reconstruct you. The divine attracts only to transform, reconstruct and reform you. Swami is very clear. And this process is called samskar. And if you see, during the birthdays, Bhagwan gifted during the 60th birthday sealing on desires. So, which was again such a beautiful gift. I remember, so many mothers always taking a little rice and keeping it aside as they are doing their cooking. Well, Swami said, I don't want you to borrow and beg and then do some service. That is not the service that I want. I want you to reduce your desires. Once you have restrained yourself, you have learned how to live with less, take that and do the service. That is okay for me.
And today, probably the best economic model that is available is the ceiling on desires.
Absolutely.
It's being proved more and more that there is not enough resources. There are not infinite resources for, mankind to just be greedy.
Yeah.
So, in fact, it was in 1984 that Swami launched the ceiling on desires movement. And in fact, in the 1985 60th birthday, he tells us, he says, mankind, what are you doing? What did I want you to do was to reduce your desire. Mm. And very simply, if you look at the ceiling on desires, it just boils down to four things that Swami says.
Yes.
Right? Ceiling on desires is not some very big, I have to live like a mendicant.
And you did not say, seize your desires.
Yeah.
No desires. Just reduce.
Reduce. What did he mean? He even explained that. He said, ceiling on desires simply means do not waste food. Do not waste food, time, energy and money. That's all. So all we need to do is to ask ourselves this question whenever we are doing any of this. Are we wasting? Is this a wasteful thing? That's all that ceiling
that's
on. Magnificent message to give.
So that was one birthday gift. We are trying to see all the birthday gifts that Bhagwan gave us. So this was one birthday gift. Another birthday gift which came in a birthday discourse. Swami said, Tyaja durjana samsargam. Avoid bad company. Bhaja sadhu samagamam. Be in the company of the good. Kuru punya ahoratram. Do meritorious deeds.
Day
smaranitya.
And night.
Smaranitya anityatam.
Yeah.
So constantly be vigilant of what is permanent and what is temporary. What constantly be, you do everything in the world, but know that this is permanent, this is going to fade away.
And the reason why we are taking this is because I think these are like formulas. Swami was giving us some formulas which you can implement in day-to-day life. While he did speak about the Atman and all of that, he said, you may not be able to understand that. Don't worry. You take this.
Yes.
Right? This is a beautiful formula, a four-line formula.
Yes.
Avoid bad company.
Yes.
Seek good company. Do good deeds. Contemplate on what is impermanent and permanent. That's it. Right? We're feeling on desires. Do not waste this, do not waste that. Simple day-to-day things that we can implement in our life.
Yes. The birthday gifts of Bhagavan continues. You know, in another discourse, when Bhagavan explained this samskar, paropakar, Bhagavan clearly says, what is paropakar? When you are reconstructed with samskar, when you do all this, you know, then you are re-engineering yourself. And Swami says, why you have to re-engineer yourself? Why you have to remake yourself? The only purpose why you have to redo yourself is so that you are useful to society, so that you can reduce your ego, and so that you can see the unity of all beings.
Which is Sakshatkar?
Paropakar. Paropakar, which
correct.
Will lead to Sakshatkar.
Which will lead to Sakshatkar. Right.
So, when that refinement happens, then you will learn to serve. The refinement should lead us to serving.
To be useful to society.
To be useful to society. And once you serve, Swami says, when you absolutely feel that you are a humble servant of everyone, if you are a humble servant of the Lord, that is the stage of paropakar. Because only when you serve with that feeling, no ego, seeing the unity of all beings, and seeing if I am useful to society, if I am having this perspective, and if I am a servant of the Lord, then I am paropakar. That will lead us to Sakshatkar.
And coming on to this final thing, which is Sakshatkar, there is a beautiful message that Swami gave in 1983, his birthday discourse. This is once again a formula. He says, in this beautiful revelatory Padyam, he says, from this day, keep ever in your memory what I am about to tell you. Right? And these are possibly the most powerful set of, you know, aphorisms that we can say. You know, that Swami gave. Swami said, first, keep repeating this. I am God. I am not different from God. Be conscious of this always. Swami says, pray that you may not fail in the sadhana. Of sadhana of what? Of reminding yourself, I am God. I am not different from God. Second, I am Akhanda Parabrahma. Keep telling yourself, I am the indivisible supreme absolute. This is the second truth. Third, I am Satchit Ananda, I am truth, I am awareness, I am bliss. Keep telling yourself this. Fourth, grief and anxiety can never affect me. Fear can never enter me. Okay, and finally Swami says, pray that this conviction grows stronger and stronger and exhort yourself, O Self, utter Om Tat Sat, which are the threefold symbol of Brahman. Okay, so Swami says, once again, very quickly, and I remember this why so much, because every night, as a little child, my whole, you know, all of us as a family, we would sit in front of our altar, and imagine, I would have been 5, 6, 7 years old, I had no clue what it meant.
Okay.
But it had become such a part of my system. I am God, I am not different from God, I am the indivisible supreme absolute, I am Satchidananda Swarupa, grief and anxiety cannot affect me, fear cannot enter me, I am content, Om Tat Sat, Om Tat Sat.
So you used to say that?
Used to say that.
Oh, wow.
Okay, and I had the least idea of what was going on. Okay, little did I know that this is the ultimate formula.
Yes.
To constantly remind. And so, and this is once again a part of a birthday discourse.
This is one of the beautiful birthday gifts that Bhagavan gave us.
And now let us listen to another beautiful gift. Because here in this Padyam, that Parabrahma, that Satchit Ananda, that God is revealing himself to mankind.
Yes.
This happened during the 1985 60th birthday, and this is the opening Padyam with which Swami, and let us transport ourselves back into the Hillview Stadium. 60th birthday was probably the largest attended birthday. Millions of devotees had come. Okay, this is the 60th year is supposed to be a very, very important year for all of us. And Swami starts his discourse with this Padyam.
Revealing himself.
ஏ குணமும் புகழின்றி ஏதென்றனோ நாடோ பிரஹ்லாது பாலிம்ப பரம புருஷன் ஏ குணமும் புகழின்றி ஏதென்றனோ நாடோ கரிமி காற்றித்தரி கமலமயோ ஏ குணம் புகழின்றி ఏకించెనో నాడు పేదకు చేరుని ద్రోవ వేద చేతుడు ఏ గుణము గణించి ఏకించెనో నాడు ధ్రువ కుమారుని సాక వైకుంఠవాసి. ఆ గుణములు గణించి అమరవంజుడు ఆప్తజనులను పాలించు అనాథనాథ్ శ్రీలోకనాథ్ శ్రీనాథ్. ఆ గుణమే గణించి అమరవంజుడు ఆప్తజనులను పాలించు అనాథనాథుడు శ్రీలోకనాథ శ్రీనాథ లోకనాథ. ఎవరి సచ్చిదానందమూర్తి సచ్చిదానందమూర్తి పుటపతి సత్యక్రమ.
So that is the beautiful 60th birthday bonanza that Bhagwan gave, and you have seen the crowds there. Crowds are so thrilled to Bhagwan himself announce that he is that Sachidananda Sarupa, Parabrahma Sarupa, who has now become Puttaparthi, Sat Chakravarti. He is the king, he is the lord of the lords, and who has become the lord of Puttaparthi also. And if you see this lord, he gave us Puttaparthi. He gave us so many gifts on all of these birthdays. And in fact, in one birthday discourse, Swami says, I don't need the celebrations. These birthdays are not for
you
me.
You are doing it for yourself, for not yourself. For me.
Yeah, because there is no birth for me. There is, in fact, Swami says, the advent happens because of the prayers of the sages and saints of the good people. Swami says, how, you know, ice, water freezes into ice. It is the prayers of the people seeking and pining for the Lord that the cosmic consciousness freezes into a human frame. It is only out of his love to grace us with his blessings that, you know, Bhagwan takes the human form. It's not as if the mission cannot happen if he does not take the human form. And once he comes in the human form, the gifts continue. And as we have seen, all these beautiful messages that Swami gave us and all the beautiful gifts that Swami gave us birthday after birthday. And now it makes you think, okay, Swami, you gave us all these beautiful gifts. What is it that we have to give you?
Yeah.
What are the birthday gifts that you want from us? What is it that you seek from us? Tell us, Swami. And for this, let me take you back to the 40th birthday of Bhagwan. A very beautiful incident which is narrated by Mrs. Geeta Mohan Ram. It was the birthday when Mandir did not have so many people and very few people used to be there for the birthday celebrations. And this group of people, Dr. Padmanabhan's family, these children of that family, they thought, you know, we have to do something for Swami's birthday. And so they racked their brains and they said, okay, we are going to gift him a pedestal fan. Because Puttaparthi was very hot, you know, in those days. And they thought Swami constantly keeps sweating and, you know, Swami is continuously working from day to night. And if we give him a fan, it would be a great idea. And so they thought of it and they pulled money. They had received in Indian tradition on Gauri Puja, the girls had given money. So all the little girls, they collected their little savings and they bought this pedestal fan and they got it to Puttaparthi. Now the whole thing is, you know, Swami should accept this offering. And so few days before birthday, and so they all sheepishly tried to catch Swami's attention after dinner. You know, they were all standing in one line in the circular staircase. And Swami said, hey, what is this caterpillar doing here? And they said, Swami, please, Swami, we have one request, Swami. Now, what do you want? And Swami, we want to give you something on your birthday. What? Swami, please, Swami, we have brought this, we have kept it in the shed, Swami. It's a gift for you, Swami. He said, okay, what is the gift that you brought from me? And Swami goes to the shed, and this pedestal fan is covered with a white cloth. And Swami says, well, this is a bhutam, this is a ghost. What is it have you brought? So then they will remove the cloth, and so it's a pedestal fan. I said, oh, nice. You got a pedestal fan for me. Wow. It's so hot here. Very nice, very nice. And Swami says, okay, you put it for the birthday. And so on the birthday morning when Bhagwan is on the stage, so So they decide who will put the fan and, you know, how he should operate it so that it does not disturb Swami's hair. Swami should feel comfortable there. Swami will cover it with pots and all that so that it's not very conspicuous, and all the arrangements was made. And then Bhagwan came. And in fact, even before this, Swami called the girls and Swami asked, how much did you pay for this? You know, that is Swami. How much did you pay for this? No, Swami, we did not take money. We had collected from all the girls. We pulled our money. Swami said, oh, all girls only did. What did the boys do? And I said, no, Swami, the boys helped us, Swami. They only transported. So difficult to transport in those days, you know. So difficult to transport things from Bangalore to... It takes 24 hours to come. And when the boys help with everything, I said, okay. So the fan was placed. And when Bhagwan came and was about to sit on the chair, and when they were able to put on the fan, so Swami came, Swami lifted that fan, and Swami kept it in the front, and then Swami turned it towards the devotees. Swami turned it towards the devotees. And all these children, Swami, we brought the fan for you, Swami. And so later on, they went and, Swami, what is this, Swami? You didn't use the fan, Swami. We bought it for you, Swami. Swami said, see, when so many people are sitting there and they're all sweating and it is so hot, how can I use that fan for myself? I've used. I have accepted your gift. And Swami says, it's my birthday, no? So you should give me what I want. Correct? So I am telling you what I want. And then Swami says, it's a very beautiful message Bhagwan gives. And I want to read out the Telugu to you because it is really very beautiful. Swami says, Sai Arthinchu Neenundi Satya Gunamulu. All that Sai wants from you is your virtues. Sarva Manava Sodara Sakya Buddhi. What you should have is that brotherhood of man, brotherly feeling, and be a friend to everyone, to all beings. Swartha Swartha Tyagambu. Renunciation of selfishness. Give up selfishness. Parishuddha Sangha Seva. What is needed is pure selfless service. Parishuddha Sangha Seva. Pure selfless service to mankind and all creation. Sai ki ichedi dhanamu ide satyamuganu. This is the only wealth that Sai wants, Swami says.
Beautiful.
My birthday, you want to give me what I want.
Yes. So this is the first gift that we can offer.
Yes.
In fact, as you were narrating, another beautiful incident comes to mind. This was narrated by one of the brothers who used to serve, who had the opportunity to serve Swami. He noticed one evening that as Swami was returning back, this was a few days before the birthday celebration, Swami was returning back to Purnachandra after the evening, after the morning darshan. And usually what would happen is Swami will be having bunch of letters in his hand as Swami is returning back. And usually Swami will, once he enters into that path moving towards the Purnachandra, he will simply beckon the boy to take the letters.
Yes.
That day as Swami was returning, he noticed a very strange thing in Swami's hand. There was a bag, okay, a very dilapidated, almost like a torn, you know, bag, in a very used bag in Swami's right hand. And there were letters in the left hand. So, you know, that now very intriguing. This is the first time they are seeing something like this, like a bag in Swami's hand. And so they were waiting for Swami to call so that they could, you know, take the bag, because then, you know, you will get to know what is there in the bag. That day Swami calls, and with his left hand Swami gives the letters, but Swami doesn't let go of this bag. Now usually that itself was very, very strange.
Yes.
Because Swami would never give anything with his left hand.
Yes.
Even he has to give something, he will transfer it to his right hand and then
yes.
give. But that day Swami did not let go of this bag. Swami gave the letters. So now it was even more intriguing. Swami takes this bag and he goes up. Okay, he doesn't even leave it with the other things. So now everybody is like, what is there in this bag? Everybody wants to know. In the afternoon, at around 3 o'clock, Swami comes down. Okay, and Swami calls the brothers, and Swami says, I have got something for you, okay, for all of you. And so everybody sits around, just 3-4 of them. And Swami takes this bag, and out of this bag come groundnut along with their peels, okay. And what begins is one of the most sweetest moments where Swami is breaking open the groundnuts and he's, you know, kind of taking out the groundnut and he's distributing. And he's telling, you also do it. So Swami is giving it to someone, the others are giving it to Swami. And, you know, in the process, as Swami is peeling, all of that peel is falling on Swami's robe. So one of the brothers wanted to kind of clean up the robe, you know, as it was falling. And Swami said, all that you can do, we'll do later.
Enjoy.
So they were thinking, who is this devotee who has given, means Swami is relishing. Almost like Sudama, so many Shabari or Sudama comes to mind. Who is this? And after this little picnic of theirs was over, Swami said, do you know who has given me this? And so Swami starts to narrate about this one lady who had come in the 1940s, in the Patha Mandiram days, who was so poor and who was so illiterate, that she had just come for the birthday celebrations and she was looking around for what is the one thing that she can do for Swami's birthday. She figured that she was not talented in anything. She could not participate in the rangoli making. She could not participate in garland making. She could not participate in the cooking that was happening because she just did not have those talents. And so try as much as she wanted to, she was kind of foo-fooed from everything. This you cannot do, you do something else. And so one evening she was crying, thinking, Swami, what is it that I can do for you? It looks like I'm not good for, I'm good for nothing. And that night Swami comes and says, why are you worried that you can't do anything for me? What do you grow in your hometown? Swami, all we grow is groundnuts. Then give me that. And from that year onwards, every year, this lady would bring groundnuts from her fields in this bag, in the same bag, because she is so poor, she cannot even afford, a better bag. And that is why the condition of that bag, because for 40 years, this
same
lady,
bag.
Same bag she would put, and Swami would hunt her out, out of the thousands who would have gathered. And then after saying all of this, Swami says, now whatever is left, put it into a bowl, because I have to give this bag back to this lady. And Swami says, now is the pet the problem. How do I identify this lady? Because what would happen is that lady would simply show the bag from the darshan and Swami would go and pick it out. And as if Swami doesn't know where this lady is going to be seated, Swami is saying, now I have to go back and I have to see where that lady is sitting. And these brothers just had tears in their eyes, because this is what Swami wants. This is that bhava, not those groundnuts, but the bhava with which it was given. So that is the beautiful thing. And in fact, in the 1986 birthday, he says exactly this. He says, I require from each of you no other gift, no more valuable offering than the heart I have endowed you with. Give me that heart as pure as when I gave it to you, full of the nectar of love that I filled it with. All we need to do is to give that heart back with all of that love which he had given to us.
Absolutely. In fact, as you mentioned about this groundnut lady, I'm reminded of another story. There was another old lady who used to sell groundnuts in Prashantilam in Puttaparthi. And so one day Swami asked her, because she would not sit with the other ladies, because she's not very well dressed and she would always think that I cannot sit with them, and she would sit apart in those early days. And one day Swami went to her and Swami asked, what are you selling outside? So she said, Swami, I am selling groundnuts. Are you able to make your ends meet? Is it enough for you? No, Swami, I manage, Swami. She was very, very poor, very poor. And then Swami said, if I give some work, will you do? What can you do? She said, Swami, I have not studied, Swami. I am illiterate. I cannot do anything. Swami, no, you tell me what you can do. So she said, Swami, maybe I can do the dishes, Swami. After your food, I can wash the dishes. That I can do, Swami.
That even we can do. As long as it is Swami's dish.
But that was this lady's prayer, Swami, I will wash the dishes, And then she said, Swami, I can do one more thing. And Swami, I can get water for you from Chitravati. In those days, a mandir did not have pipes, no taps. So they used to draw water from the well and use. And, the river water is definitely cleaner. And generally, you would prefer that for bath. So she said, Swami, I will get water for you from Chitravati. And Swami said, okay. And so she took this up as her sadhana. So she will wake up 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning when it is absolutely pitch dark. She would go to Chitravati, you know, walk this 2 miles, old lady, and she would do that several times to fill that tank, which later, you know, using firewood, they would warm that water for Bhagavan's bath. And silently she would do this. You know, she continued to do this for many years till the taps came in the Prashantinilaya Mandir. And on one occasion, when Dr. Padmanabhan had come from Bangalore, Swami told him, how are you going tomorrow? So, it was a Saturday, the Sunday morning you're supposed to go. He had come with his car, and Swami said, you send your family back in the bus, you have to take Konamma. Her name was Konamma, this lady. Konamma is very sick, we have to take her to Bangalore, you have to take her. She said, okay, Swami. So, he sent the relatives in the bus, and Swami came back after some time, and Swami said, no, I will also come together, because she will not survive if you take her. She is very bad. And then Swami took the car. Swami went to the house where Konamma was there. Swami picked Konamma from her house, and the journey started with Bhagwan in the car. And in those days, roads are so rough, you know, undulating terrain. And so if there was little jerk also, Konamma was in terrible pain. And Swami would say, we are reaching, Konamma, just little more, it's over, we have come. And sometimes he would create vipati, he would engage her in some conversation. Somehow, you know, Swami would keep her alive and somehow distract her mind. And with a lot of difficulty, they reached Bangalore, 7:30 in the night. And Swami went straight to a nursing home. And they knock there, and the doctor comes out. And Dr. Padmanabhan and Swami. And Swami says that, you know, this lady has to be operated. And so the doctor comes out. And when the one look at that lady, and the doctor says, she has a burst appendix, Swami. If I do operation also, she will not survive. Swami said, she will survive. The appendix happened 24 hours ago. She has survived. She will survive. You do the operation. And the man said, Swami, but how will I get an anesthetist now? I can't get an anesthetist in the middle of the night like this, you know, those days, 60s. I said, no problem, I am the anesthetist. You start the operation. Swami created vibhuti, Swami put, and Swami said, now she will wake up after the operation, you do the operation. And Swami sat outside the operation theater when the operation was going on a wooden bench. Dr. Padmanabhan told Swami, you rest now, Swami, you can go. I said, no. After the operation is over, when she wakes up, she will look for me. Have to be there. And operation was successful, obviously. And when Konamma saw Bhagwan after the operation, he says, Swami, why did you take so much trouble? Why are you still waiting? Why did you take so much trouble? Swami said, what trouble? I took nothing. It's nothing compared to the trouble that you have taken. For how many years you have done this seva for me? This is nothing, Swami said. And the same Konamma, during the 60th birthday celebrations, when Bhagwan was honoring many eminent ladies on the stage, the people who knew Konamma were thrilled to see Konamma as part of that gathering, as part of that eminent ladies who were honored by Bhagwan. Now, I just want to only say Bhagwan's words, what you mentioned. Give me that heart as pure as when I gave it to you, full of nectar of love, I filled it with. In fact, in 1996, Bhagwan says, the hapless and the forlorn, wherever they may be, they are the concern of Sai. You don't have to offer anything except love. Swami says, in Prashantilyam, no other offering is accepted. Only love is allowed entry. And I think that is what Swami is again and again telling, this is what I want from you.
So, what can we give to Swami? Right, we probably today, you know, we cannot be in a position of a Konamma, or we cannot be in the position of the little children who could give the pedestal fan. Mm. It was a 1994 birthday discourse. Swami makes it very clear. Mm. All you need to do, okay, and Swami makes this, in fact, that discourse is available even on the net. If you search on YouTube, it's there. Swami says, today, as an offering, Swami is saying, on my birthday, today as an offering, give up three things. Meat eating, consuming liquor and smoking. By renouncing these three, you will benefit yourself as well as the society. Swami's sole aim is to promote the welfare of the family, the society and the nation. So, Swami is saying, take this resolve from this moment. Now, probably many of us are not doing that. Right, but all that Swami wants is to take those little one steps. Swami, instead of smoking, Swami, I will give up getting angry. Or I will give up getting angry with my own family members. Yes. It's something like that is let us take this resolve and, you know, do this. And at this point, I'm reminded of what is that little things that we can do.
Yes.
Let me take you back to a birthday that happened after Swami's Mahasamadhi. This was the 2011 birthday, right? So all of till now, whatever we spoke was about what people were able to give Swami physically. Imagine the 2011 birthday. There was no happiness in that birthday. There was no happy birthday. It was hitting us like a ton of bricks because whether it was music program that we were putting up, there is no Swami. You know, whether it was convocation, there is no Swami. Right? Rathotsavam, there is no Swami. There was no, physically we are not able to see that. And so, even in the hostel, you know, every year the boys make a birthday cake which Swami will graciously cut and then we will of course devour it later on. Okay? And that day, you know, that year, the boys were wondering, is it really necessary to make birthday cake for Swami? I mean, who is going to cut it? And usually like a 30-40 kg cake will be made. That year they decided, you know what, let's just go with a 5 kg cake just for symbolism. You know, and so all the effort was a bit half-hearted, obviously full of melancholy.
The first year.
Yeah, the first time. You know, April, Swami left and this was the November. So, the entire morning function gets over. And one of the brothers who was in the cake in the bakery department, he was in charge of the prasadam distribution also. And of course, thousands of people had arrived. And so, he was distributing, you know, the prasadam. He had gone up to the Rama statue, right, where right opposite to the Gopuram. And as he was distributing the prasadam, he saw one incredible thing happening. He saw one lady, there was a cake in her hand, and with that cake, she is doing aarti to Rama, Lakshmana, Sita, the idols.
Cake aarti.
With the cake aarti. So, he was very intrigued. So, you know, it was around 11:30 by the time the prasadam distribution got over, and that's when he saw this lady. So, he waited to ask this lady, like, what are you doing, Aunt, madam? And when he did ask her, she said, every year I see you boys getting the opportunity. Now, she doesn't know that this is a bakery boy. That I have seen you boys getting the opportunity of taking a cake to Swami. And I see Swami cutting so many cakes. The only thing that I can offer to Swami, because I am, you know, she knows a bit of bakery, is that she said, that I can offer a cake to Swami. And so for every year, for several years, okay, she has been baking a small little cake. She stands from wherever she can and she offers the cake to Swami. In these many years, for her, it had never changed. Right? She was standing where she was, offering the cake to the Swami who always took her offering. And she continued to do that. And this brother was telling me later on that hit him like a ton of bricks. Because here they were, having got the opportunity of Swami directly cutting the cake, and they were wondering, now why should we make the cake? And here was a lady for whom Swami had never cut the cake. Okay, and yet she had that fervor and feeling to offer that cake to Swami.
I mean, how Bhagwan responds to that purity. I mean, very quickly I will narrate something which happened. Again, something very sweet. In 2009, you know, so this lady was in Prashantilayam. Her daughter, who has two kids in Bangalore, she calls up in the night and tells the mother that, you know, this morning when both our kids were getting ready, 6-year-old and 3-year-old, I told them that it is Swami's birthday. So the little one said, okay, mother, I will sing happy birthday to Swami. And so the kids, they sang happy birthday and they wished Swami long life and all that. And then the little boy told, but Amma, where is birthday cake? Baba has not given birthday cake, it is his birthday. So the mother did not know what to say. You know, mother just changed the topic and told, you go to school. And the mother was thinking, and the mother called up her mother, who was in Parthi for the birthday function, 10 o'clock in the night on birthday, and so this is what happened today. You know, this is what your grandchildren told. And this grandmother was thinking, I should maybe take something for these grandkids. The next morning at 6 o'clock when she's getting into the bus, a lady comes to her and says, I don't know why, I just feel like giving this to you. This is one of the boys who is part of the cake department in the hostel. He gave me this birthday cake and I just feel that I should give it to you. You know?
Wow.
I mean, this is how Bhagwan responds to that purity. And I think that continues. If that purity is there, if you can give that heart filled with love, I think that is the gift that Bhagwan wants, and that continues. In fact, if you look at the real birthday of Bhagwan, if you see, there is one very important thing that Bhagwan mentioned during the 60th birthday of Bhagwan. And that gift, that what we should give, what Swami mentioned, was really something to think about.
Yes. In fact, so all of this was about, you know, the nice part.
Yeah.
But in the 60th birthday discourse, Swami makes a very important, you know, this is almost like these days, you know, when we give gifts to our kids, we try to make them into a treasure hunt, right? So we don't directly give them gifts. We will make them search for the gift, right? We'll give some clues. We will keep them here and there. So the child has to run here, open the clue, find. Swami was giving a similar kind of a test, a treasure hunt, if you can call it. And this was in the 1985, for Swami's 60th birthday. Swami says, as part of the 60th birthday celebrations, I am prescribing a test which you will have to accept. When you undergo it and emerge victorious, you can be pronounced as real humans. So the outcome of that was that we will come to know we are here, real humans. And then Swami goes on to say, the farmer ploughs the field, sows the seed and watches the crop grow until the grain is harvested. The next process is winnowing. The light chaff will then be carried away by the wind and the hard grain will stay. I shall start the winnowing from now. The test will remove the chaff. Only the hard grains will continue to be near Swami.
Yes.
All the others will simply be blown away.
Yes.
Okay. And you can imagine what a statement this would have been, because if we have to be close to Swami, then we cannot be the chaff.
Yes.
We have to be the real grain.
Yes. And how to be that grain? I told you in the beginning that Swami told, when can you really celebrate my birthday? And in that discourse, 1974 birthday, Swami gives that solution. How to be that grain? Swami says, on that day, when you experience genuine ananda in your hearts, when you experience genuine happiness in your heart, that day you are qualified to celebrate my birthday. And in another birthday discourse, Swami says, you can be happy that you have given Swami something, you have given Swami a proper gift, only when you love your fellow men, share their suffering and engage yourself in serving them. This is the only gift I wish for, and I think there is no other way you can fill yourselves with ananda unless you broaden yourself.
Correct.
Unless you remove the limitations of I, me, myself, there is no way you can get ananda. And I think the more you remove that limitation, the more ananda you will be filled with. And that is the gift that Bhagwan wants from us.
Exactly. And one of the ways by which we can experience this ananda is through this process of being equanimous.
Yes.
Come what may, I am going to be happy.
Yes.
And Swami himself in the 1979 discourse, he says, just imagine this is the birthday celebration. Thousands of people have gathered. And Swami says, declares on his birthday, on one side adoration is rising like the Himalayas, but denigration is also accumulating on the other side like another Himalayan range.
Yes.
Right? Swami saying that I am getting hate and I am getting adulation. Both I am getting from. Okay. I am, however, unaffected by both. And then Swami says, upon both these peaks, I place my hands, showering blessings equally on opposing responses.
Yes.
Where there is a day, there must also be a night. But it is the same sun that causes them both. What an amazing statement, that whether it is a day or a night, it is the same sun, and I am that sun.
Wow.
Okay, he says, yes. Be equanimous yourself.
Yes.
Okay. Endeavor to benefit most from the good fortune accessible to you.
There is no way you can fill yourselves with ananda unless we have this attitude that no matter what comes to us, it is coming from the same source. If very beautiful thing happened in my life, which I think is beautiful, actually everything is beautiful, then it is Swami, and something happens unpleasant, then it is not from that source, many times we think. But the only way to fill ourselves with Ananda is to maintain that composure, that no matter what, it is the same sun, it is my same Swami, it is the same Swami.
And that's exactly what we are going through this year, isn't it?
Yes.
This year has pretty much been like that.
Yeah,
it's just been, be equanimous.
Be equanimous.
All our plans have got toppled. Right? Everything that we had conceived of, whether it was good, bad or the ugly, has been toppled.
Yes.
And Swami is telling,
be
equanimous.
And Swami, so beautifully, in the 60th birthday, says, you know what exists between you and me? The Satya Sai Prabhu and the Satya Sai Sevaks are inseparably bound by love and loyalty. Sai exists for you and you exist for Sai. We cannot be apart from each other.
Wow.
This is the declaration, that's on birthday gift. You cannot get a better, grander, glorious birthday gift. Swami is telling, Sai exists for you, you exist for Sai, we cannot be apart from each other. And we will end the session with a very beautiful birthday blessing that Swami himself has written. And I would want Brother Amit to share that. And that is
so this was a beautiful letter that Swami had written on his birthday in 1952. And, you know, the words are in Telugu, but I'm sure that we will be able to realize the beauty of, you know, of what Swami is blessing us. Swami says, Andu kondi ashirvadamulu, yellappudu Satya Sai mee hridaya vasiyai, meeru arogya, aishwarya, bhakti, jnana, vairagya vantulai, shanti, santosha, saukhyamulanu anubhavinchuchu, bhagavat anugrahamunaku patruluga durugaka, itlu పై ఆశీర్వాదములు అందచేయు శ్రీ సత్యసాయి. స్వామి సేయింగ్, రిసీవ్ మై బ్లెస్సింగ్స్, లెట్ సత్యసాయి ఆల్వేస్ రిసైడ్ ఇన్ యువర్ హార్ట్. లాంగ్ లైఫ్, హెల్త్, వెల్త్, డివోషన్, నాలెడ్జ్ అండ్ డిటాచ్మెంట్ బీ విత్ యూ. మే యూ ఎంజాయ్ పీస్, హ్యాపీనెస్, ప్రాస్పెరిటీ అండ్ బీ రెసిపియంట్స్ ఆఫ్ భగవాన్స్ గ్రేస్. ఆల్ ఆఫ్ దీస్ ఐఎమ్ బ్లెస్సింగ్ యూ విత్. అండ్ స్వామి సైన్స్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీ సత్యసాయి, వీ ప్రే on all of you and for all the millions, the same blessings that Swami has continued to shower on all of us.
Yes. So dear brothers and sisters, as we said, this birthday, let it be a watershed moment in our lives, where we bring that change in our lives which we have been waiting for long. Let it be a birthday when we pine to see that smile on Swami's face. Let us strive for that one glance from His eyes when we can look up to Swami and say, Swami, I am striving and I am walking on the path that You showed us, and I am full of Ananda now, Swami. You wanted us to be in Ananda. I am full of Ananda. Offering this birthday gift to You, Swami. This life is for You, Swami. Let us pray and let us celebrate this birthday and make it the best birthday ever in our lives. Thank you so much.
Sairam.
Sairam.